The Kinky Cocktail Hour is brought to you by Motor Bunny, the world's most powerful saddle-style vibrator that offers fabulous creative sexual experiences. We use it and it rotates, it vibrates, and it delivers mind-blowing orgasms. Enjoy Motor Bunny as your favorite sex toy. When you order the Motor Bunny, multiple attachments are included along with the Link controller, which allows wireless control from anywhere. Motor Bunny is the world's most powerful saddle-style vibrator on Earth. Use the link in the show notes and spice up your sex life with a Motor Bunny. You're listening to Kinky Cocktail Hour, a conversation between adults about sex-forward relationships, kinky lifestyles, and frank communication. If you're under 18, please stop listening and visit scarletteen.com. Hi, this is Lady Petra.
I'm Safa Master.
And this is Kinky Cocktail Hour.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Cool. So what are we drinking today?
We are trying a ginger-spiced rum Negroni.
Okay. I like Negronis. I like ginger. I like spice.
So basically, we use the Kraken rum,
yeah,
which is a very dark spiced rum, mm-hmm. and one part of the Kraken rum, and then one part Campari, and then half a part of ginger liqueur, and half a part of sweet vermouth. Mm. And the idea is you mix all the ingredients first, then add ice for one portion of it, and then do it again and add more ice and portion it and then portion it out. Mm. And then we've got garnished with lemon twist and ginger, fresh ginger.
Over a big ice cube. Yeah, it's very syrupy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, very. That's why you need the big ice cube.
Yeah, definitely a sipper. That'll get easier as the ice cube melts.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, and the Campari is very forward right now. You can taste it. So, interesting.
I like the flavors, though.
It'll be interesting as we go through it to see how it blends as it melts and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good. So what are we chatting about today?
So we talked about it in the last one or two podcasts. We brought it up just a little bit. Degradation and humiliation.
Yeah.
And I don't have a lot of experience in that, you know, other than I've actually prescribed it to some of my submissives on, right, as a switch, but to receive it, not much, and there's many levels of that. So, but you have, yeah, and you can speak to your experience as well as, you know, diving into the, you know, why people's kink may exist there, yeah, right? And why that is, as well as, is it used as a training type of tool for, yeah, you know, those kind of things.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, I do have some experience in playing with degradation and humiliation.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty lightly. I'm not, it doesn't turn me on a lot, so I don't play with it a lot.
Right.
But for example, I had a submissive who I wanted to piss in her mouth.
Okay.
And she, yeah, and she didn't want me to piss in her mouth. Right? And so I pissed in her ass,
mm-hmm,
and that got me excited about pissing in her mouth, and she didn't want me to piss in her mouth.
So would you say pissing in your ass or pissing in your mouth is degradation, humiliation?
I think piss play, water sports, falls into that category at some level for some people.
Yeah, and that's what I was kind of questioning or bringing up this query on with, yeah, you was, okay, I get that maybe if you've never tried pissing your ass, let's say, and all of a sudden say, I'm going to do that, you might feel... The first moment, you could feel dirty or whatever. Or you could, right, feel like I'm a very dirty girl and very bad girl.
Right.
And every time you experience it that way.
Yes.
That's not so for me. It's part of my marking. It's part of...
Yeah, we've constructed it differently in our, yeah, dynamic.
Right. That works for me in that,
yeah,
way,
well, you're,
too.
You're open to water sports, not as a humiliation, but as a part
as
of
a
our
play. As a
play,
yeah. So it doesn't mean in any way is right or wrong.
Although I did try one time to get you into a context of humiliation in water sports,
mm-hmm,
where we were out and I had you drinking and not peeing and then having you,
yes,
beautiful. And eventually, like what I wanted to get to was where you couldn't hold it anymore and you just had to wet your pants. And you were just like too tough. You just held it. And eventually you just, you know, dropped your shorts and peed out in the public.
Okay, so I get that.
Yeah.
And for me, I guess there was a bit of humiliation with that, but,
yeah,
it's not like I haven't dropped my trowel before to pee in public.
Right.
So I was kind of like, like you say, it was like a test for me
to
endure and get through. And then when it came time to doing it, I'm just like, okay, this is, but I experience it as, this is just the task he wants me to do. I'm obedient. I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
And it doesn't occur to me as like, I can't believe he's making me do this. I can't believe how disgusting am I, or do you see what I'm saying? And I'm not saying any of that other construct is wrong. That's just how I see it.
That's the point, right? So your experience in water sports is to have it occur as some aspect of our sexualized experience together.
Right.
But for somebody else,
it might not
water
be.
Sports might be very, very humiliating to be peed on or to be forced to wet themselves in public.
Right.
Or, you know, there's a lot about that.
Right.
And so the question that I have, and this goes to all of kink, you
right.
know, because I talked about this before, about how I think kink is very often sourced in some childhood experience. And I was reading some posts earlier about humiliation, and somebody referenced how while they're being called a slut and a whore and they're being told they're filthy and dirty in their sexual experience,
mm-hmm.
where they're aroused and coming and so forth,
mm-hmm.
they also hear in that talk their mother hissing at them or their church.
For being a dirty girl
or their church elders like being mean to them about, you know, sex and so forth. So
mm-hmm.
so there's something there. So now the question is, does humiliation occur for you as something you find arousing, or do you find it humiliating? Like, that's the first question.
Mm-hmm.
And the second question is, if you find it arousing, what's the source of that, and do you need humiliation to be aroused?
Oh, I didn't even think of that. Yeah, because that might be very true for people.
Yeah. And then there's another part of it, which is, you know, you feel humiliated, but you accept the humiliation because it's something that your dom wants you to experience.
Mm-hmm.
So you do it to please your dom.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't occur for you as bad, just it's humiliating to lay in the dirt and roll around in the dirt,
mm-hmm.
you know,
right,
or
right.
write pig on yourself or whatever it
right.
is, right? So it seems to me like there's different sourcing in, you know, the context of how it occurs for you.
Mm-hmm.
And see, there's some things that I think are incredibly humiliating
mm-hmm.
that somebody else might think, that doesn't humiliate me at all.
Right.
And there's some things that I think of, like I think of pissing in your ass as incredibly arousing, that somebody else might be revolted by.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
And so it's there's no hard line on what is degradation or what is humiliation to one person or another.
Yeah.
It is sourced in that play partnership or dynamic where they have to determine, first of all, is that even a thing that you agree upon? And second of all, is that the way, if you've agreed to it, you want to stretch your sub? And then, and I guess there's, maybe this is wrong of me. Maybe there isn't reasons. I mean, reasons. But it feels like if you're training someone, there should be a reason. I mean, use that word, reason for doing it. Like you're getting them to do something. Now, it could be just to explore something new. It could be to see how they react to that type of, you know, there could be.
To stretch
but
them,
just
yeah.
to do it, I guess, I think some, well, maybe I just, that's too controlling.
Well, I mean, I had an experience with a submissive who, the way she put herself forward was, nobody's ever made me say my safe word. Like, I've never
like
said
challenge.
Read out. I'm gonna challenge you to do whatever it is that it takes to do that.
Right.
And the first question I asked her is, well, if I piss on your mouth, are you going to red out? She goes, well, that's a soft limit. You know, so...
Right.
so it's interesting how...
She may not like it.
Yeah, but it's not going to...
But it's not going to make her say...
It's not a break.
She's not going to run away,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think humiliation's interesting, you know. I had a submissive whose kink was fear. Like that was
right.
that was her kink.
Right.
So you know, threatening to drown her in a bathtub
right.
got her really aroused.
Okay.
You know, holding her underwater.
Right, right, right.
Got her really aroused. You know, mm-hmm. like the fear factor was really high.
Yeah.
I think that all of that stuff lives in the same place. I think, you know, whatever it is that arouses you, it could be fear, it mm-hmm. could be excitement, it could be humiliation, it could be degradation,
mm-hmm.
it could be, you know, pain. I mean, there are different things that arouse people.
Right.
And it's not, you know, we talk about all the, this all the time, that there's no right way to be in kink.
No, no.
You know, so... You know, so what I find humiliating to execute on, somebody might be on the receiving end of that and not be humiliated at all.
Right. And that's the thing when we talk about there's nothing wrong and there's no judgment in the kink world in the sense of each of our interpretations is going to be different.
Right.
I mean, this will play into the whole thing of when I used to ask you much more in the beginning of like, I don't know if I'm really a masochist, you know, because
right.
I can't do all these things.
Right.
Well, I recognize that some of the things I do, another masochist might go, oh, fuck.
Can't do that.
And likewise, the same thing for me. There is no right or wrong way
no.
of being. There's just the way you are.
Yeah.
And I think the humiliation, degradation may play back for some people, like you say, that woman that you were reading about that had flashbacks or visions of past incidents
tied
into yeah. her kink
yeah.
experience. But then again, like you say, there's things that people may think are degrading or humiliating and then they just aren't.
But if I said to somebody about you
mm-hmm.
that I sometimes tie you up and put you in a cage after I've peed in you.
Mm-hmm.
They would find that to be like a very degrading experience.
Yes.
But you wouldn't find that degrading.
No.
But they would.
Right.
You know, and so...
So is it really just degradation and humiliation from the outside looking in? Because that's my question is. The query is that woman, even though she had this flashback, still said, I'm not a weird person. I still
no.
make dinner for my family and I'm kind and loving and all these things.
Yeah, she said, you know... I'm both that and also this dirty, naughty, slutty
right.
girl.
Right.
And, you know, one of the very first times you verbalized during sex that we were having,
mm-hmm.
you called yourself a dirty, naughty, slutty girl.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why I keyed in on that, thinking, well, I wonder, like, where else, where that lives. Like.
Yeah. But I don't feel... That comes up in play.
Yeah.
But I don't pinpoint something because I don't have an incident where someone called me dirty or slutty. I wasn't.
Right.
I mean, maybe they did, but they were in error because
yeah.
that wasn't happening. My story is attached to something completely different.
I know. But
now, it could be that I attach my story to that because if you're talking about earlier incident
mm-hmm.
of being unworthy, and those are the naughty, unworthy things that come to mind.
I see.
In the context of kink.
Yeah.
You know, like... Growing up, let's be honest, I mean, I own the word slut now because
yes.
I own it.
Yeah.
But I own it. It's not being just told to me and thrown at me.
Right.
But I remember there were girls in junior high and high school that were called sluts.
Yes.
And they didn't own the word. The reality was people were
judging them.
Judging
yeah,
them.
Yeah. No, I believe that your experience or one's experience of being humiliated.
Mm-hmm.
is really tied to one's adult experience of their sexual urge to feel that sense of humiliation. You know, I met a girl one time who I was talking with her about BDSM, and she said to me, you know, my mother used to beat me with a wooden spoon.
Right.
And then I would go and masturbate.
Mm.
And, you know, and I did that, you know, to... Not to change the context, but out of defiance, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, so I arranged for her to come and be, you know, spanked and tied up and stuff.
Right.
And you know, we talked about it afterwards, and she said that was really interesting, you know, because no one's ever just spanked her as part of sex. Like, no one's ever done that.
Oh, okay.
And so she said that was so interesting to tie those things together because it was really rooted in her
yeah.
being this naughty girl. you know, as a young person.
Well, and I see the defiance part of it. I guess,
yeah.
I mean, we're human, so we've all experienced at some point, I mean, I would challenge anyone that says they haven't, but some type of degradation or humiliation growing up.
Absolutely.
Right? Yeah. And I keep thinking back to where are those humiliating moments for me. I have many. Just the cruelness of growing up as a kid, and
kids are cruel.
Grade school and junior high were probably the most cruel. So I try to think of the, like those incidents and think, how does that tie in? And I can't think of it other than I feel like I didn't fit in, so therefore the unworthy story comes up again, and therefore what is in the world of vanilla, let's just say, it doesn't mean that vanillas don't want a slutty girl, you know, males or females for that matter. But society says slut's a bad thing, right? So if I'm unworthy, then that comes up in lieu of that. That's the only way I could think of it. Mm. However, because I never owned the word before, I educated myself and then owned it. Would I just walk around calling myself a slut? I don't know. Maybe. I mean,
Right. I mean, here's the thing. If you had given me cues that humiliation was your kink,
mm-hmm.
which you haven't.
Right.
But if you had, then what I would have done is explore that further.
So that's what I want to speak to. So because there's people that are new to kink.
Yeah.
Listening to us, and people that are vanilla listening to us, for that matter.
Yeah.
If you're meeting a new play partner.
Yeah.
There's obviously overt ways people would elude that, but have you ever experienced subtle ways that you would then key in on, possibly wanting to explore that further with that person?
Well, like I said, with you, I listened to you refer to yourself as dirty and slutty and naughty, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so what I did was I tried to extend that mm-hmm. a little bit by seeing what would happen if I had you have to hold your bladder. Mm. Like, how would that occur for you?
See, right? You didn't quite know because I'm too competitive.
I didn't know, right?
Yeah.
But what happened for me out of that was I sort of got present to your kink isn't humiliation. It's something else.
Yeah. Right?
And that was early enough that had you shown an inkling in that direction.
So what would have been an inkling for you, not based on how I ended up doing that task or what have you, what would have been a white flag for you to say, oh yeah, this is going to go in this direction more?
Yeah.
What would I have done that could have been different that would have
If you would have shown some resistance...
Or I would have been upset that I had to hold it.
Not necessarily upset, but you would have shown some resistance. You would have complied, but sort of reluctantly. And you would have ended up with your pants wet as opposed to...
And then mad about that?
Not necessarily mad, but kind of turned on by it, right? Like you know, something that just gave me an indication that we should take this further.
Well, so let's say this. So you had me hold it. I waited. We went, you know, then you had me squat. I think I peed on my pants, actually, part of the way, because it was hard to get my pants down fast enough before the people were walking.
Right.
I guess my biggest fear was not that anyone would see me. It was that I didn't want to get a ticket for indecent exposure kind of thing. I guess then my pants were kind of wet. And you're saying, is that arousing? I guess it's arousing because I feel naughty because my pants are wet.
Right.
Because I was doing something for you in that. Now, I don't know if that means I like humiliation. For me, it's way more bound to the task.
Yeah.
And the pleasing for you.
Right.
I don't always know why you're giving me a task, but it's then a challenge. Immediately, it becomes a test.
Yeah, I think if I were to have, given where we live, if I were to have pursued humiliation for you, it would have been along the lines of having you feed out of a dog bowl, for example, live in the kennel.
I mean, when you're saying these right now, you're trying to look for reaction, I'm sure, because you're smiling at me. This is a sadist I'm talking to people. So eating a dog bowl. I could eat out of a dog bowl.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying I want to, but I could do that. How would I feel about myself? I'd feel like, why is he asking me to do this? More, but I'd do it. Sleeping in a kennel or whatever. Okay, it's not my favorite place, but I'd probably do it. And I probably wouldn't complain about these things, really.
No, I know.
But I wonder how that's tied to, if is that tied to me wanting to, because I'm not freely choosing to be humiliated. I'm not saying, please provide me these things that are humiliating or degrading.
Right.
But if you get past me, I'll do them. So is there a difference there? Is that just obedience?
Yeah, see, I think for you, a lot of your experience of yourself in our dynamic lives in the world of taking actions to please me. And I think that that's true for a lot of submissives who live in humiliation and degradation context, is a lot of their actions are taken to please their dom. They may not prefer those. Now, there are definitely people who are turned on by
him. But people that are really turned on by
him,
yes.
And I don't really understand what the turn on is. I assume it's rooted in some childhood thing. But, you know, my thought is that if I can bring you into a space where you're stretching your curiosity about some aspect of yourself.
See, that's what I'm tying it into, is yeah. that when I just said the thing about the dog bone kennel, yeah. I wouldn't necessarily have chosen those or wanted or whatever. You chose them. Okay, I'm going to do them.
Yeah.
And what I would be doing, what would motivate me to do them is obviously obedience, number one.
Yeah.
But secondly, I'm not going to toot my horn, but I feel pretty adventurous. So if I haven't tried it before, I'm like, okay,
yeah.
Let's see what happens here. Now, I'm not doing it presently, but I can't imagine just me sitting here thinking about it, because I have no sensation about it at all.
Right.
That as I eat out of the dog bowl, I'm going to feel aroused by that.
Right.
It's a task that I'll do. I do not think it would make me aroused.
No, it would have the same effect as saying to you, you literally have to spend your time in the apartment entirely naked all the time.
And right, we talked about that, and that was one of the listed items for degradation and humiliation, and I'm like,
that'd be fine.
Naked, that's not humiliating.
Right, so I think that for some people, some of those things, whether it's eating out of a dog bowl or living in a kennel or walking around naked or peeing in public, some of those things would be so viscerally difficult for them.
Okay, that's what we're looking for.
Yeah, there's some sort of visceral something, some sort of action or reaction they would have that would have an impact for a dom to request that of them or to instruct them to do that.
Okay.
You know?
And that would, there probably are things in my life that would create that for me. I don't know.
You know, like I've seen.
I mean, when you get nervous about, like, if there's something that you're really abhorrent to, and then you have, for whatever reason, even in your vanilla life, you have to do it, and it's like, what did we say? People would rather die by fire than public speak.
Yeah.
So let's just use public speaking.
Yeah.
I don't think I'm too worried about public speaking because I taught in a classroom for too long. I don't think that. But there was a time in my life that
it
was.
It was a challenge, right?
It was extremely. I took speech in college.
Yeah.
High school, I took it. Actually, it's weird. In grade school, I did lots of book reports up in front of the class. And because I was so different than everybody else, there became a point with the retaliation of the young kids that I finally just knew that I would be retaliated on no matter if I did something or didn't do it. So it didn't matter.
Right.
So then I just really dove in, especially my sixth grade year, dove into doing my book reports every single week up in front of the class and dressing up in costumes and talking about it and really endeared myself to my instructor in my curiosity of learning, right?
Sure.
Now, the transition to then junior high was way different. That's a whole different ball of wax. And I became more introverted at that point because the torment was worse. There's now three schools going into one.
Right.
People don't know you, you know,
right.
that kind of thing. And so I think I changed on that whole construct. And the humiliations there that were happening, various humiliations in junior high, are just kids being kids that are mean, you know, the kind of stuff, which I don't want to just say that because the reality is I wasn't mean to other kids. So I think kids had a choice. They're just mean kids, really. But I try to tie those in. Are those humiliating? Like, there's certain instances things would happen, and because it was so embarrassing, I'm sure in retrospect I got wet from it. I'm sure I did. Hmm. Now, did I understand what was happening?
For instance?
getting locked in a locker.
Okay.
So that's a confined space.
Right.
You don't know if you're going to get out.
it's between classes, so you could be in there for how long?
Get some
and
trouble.
If the class get classes come out, it's so loud in there that no one would hear you banging to get out. So what, do you have to wait for the janitor to come find you or a teacher, right? So there's a humiliation factor of about the teacher finding you, and you have to be admitting that you got shoved into a locker. You're too tiny of a person.
Right.
You got shoved into something. Someone took advantage of you.
And you enjoy being restrained, and you enjoy being...
Exactly.
You know...
The other one is, you know, I was a late bloomer, so I would, the boys would go across all the girls' backs to pop their bras.
Right.
This is a junior high thing, of course. And I didn't have that. Right. And so as soon as that happened, then I was always tormented as I walked through the halls, constantly, yeah. constantly. I don't know how that plays into it.
Yeah, I don't know.
But what I'm saying is I didn't like being treated that way.
Okay.
But I can't tell you 100% that subconsciously I wasn't getting wet, because fear does that. Because I was afraid. Mm-hmm. I was afraid of those people. I thought they would take me out after school and beat me up or something for being different.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Well, I wonder if as an adult, if I were to interrogate you to determine what it is that really you find humiliating.
Yeah, and like while we're sitting here, I was trying to think, because there really is probably some things that I, even in the villa world, where yeah. I have been just like, no, I'm not going to do that. There's no way I'm going to do that. Uh-huh. No, 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 no. And I'm trying to think of what those are. They don't come to mind at the moment. I think if I gave myself some space, I probably could think of some.
Right.
But I know that there are probably some things that are just... I wish I could remember, because I can feel it right now. Like there is something I know that gives me a visceral feeling.
Yeah, I mean, like,
but it's something to explore. What yeah. I'm saying is I don't know. When someone's into degradation and humiliation, and they get in contact with that feeling,
visceral feeling.
Yeah, I guess it creates arousal, because, I mean, when I'm in that visceral feeling, there's hormones being, fight or flight hormones are being released.
Right.
Okay. So I don't know, am I getting wet?
So maybe that's something. Like maybe.
Am I getting wet because of that?
Yeah, but maybe that's an aspect of it, right? So maybe being forced into humiliating circumstances.
Or scary.
Or scary for some people or whatever, causes you to have some sort of chemical response, like a fight or flight response. That you find, you know, arousing.
Well, you know, adrenaline is like super high.
Yeah.
I mean, athletes get it all the time.
Yeah, and so, you know, people play with fire, and people play with knives, and people play with guns, and people play with, you know, piercings and
these
cutting
are,
and...
Yeah.
And they're all in that space of creating that, like, heightened chemical response. But then that doesn't really get at, like, some of the more subtle aspects of humiliation and degradation, like calling you a slut or a whore or dirty.
Well, see, now that won't work on me.
No, yes.
It won't work on me now.
But for somebody, it may be like...
But you're right.
It may rise to the level of, like... You know, I mean, I remember when I first pissed in that slut's ass the first time, she talked about how what she was in touch with was the shame of being a dirty whore. That she found so arousing.
Okay, okay.
Right? So I'm wondering if there are other things, you know, like for some people it's being forced to pee your pants in public. For some people it's being forced to go without underwear.
For some people,
you know, they're just different things, right? That get people aroused in a way that they experience themselves as naughty or dirty or bad in some way.
And so I'm thinking about that right now, thinking like, what is there something I wouldn't want to do, and then I was forced to do it, and that would create some reaction out of me, physiologically maybe.
Right.
And then that would then create a context for possible arousal, or it might be arousing. And I think to myself, well, wow, but, and I don't know why this is, but my innate sense self says, but that's not the first place I want to go for arousal.
No, it's true.
Like, it's like, it's not, but it is for some people.
For sure.
And I'm like, that's not the first place I want to go for arousal. That's a long way to get around to arousal for me.
Yeah, I get it.
And then I'm like, so why am I doing it?
So as I was growing into my dominance, sexual dominance, mm-hmm. and I started to encounter women who put themselves forward as submissives, mm-hmm. the thing that I would do is I would meet them in a public place, mm-hmm. and then tell them that they would have to go to the bathroom and insert this butt plug and bring me back their underwear and give it to me.
Right.
And that was, like, for me, that was a sufficiently...
step.
It was like basic a degrading step, right? You've got to go and insert a plug in your ass and give me your underwear. And you see...
It's not a big deal for me.
Well, it isn't now, but like for somebody who's never experienced...
But if you would have done that, Marie Callender's,
yeah.
I would have done it.
Yes, I know. But we've already been talking for a long time. But if I'm just... But my point is that if you're a young woman who's been curious about kink...
Yeah.
And you've been wondering about these feelings you're having, and here's some dom who says to you, here's this giant butt plug, go put it in your ass. Like, you might experience that as deeply humiliating, right? As a deeply humiliating experience.
I think, yeah, humiliating and scary all together. Like, all of it together. And that's why super I think fear arousing, is part of this. Right?
And super arousing, because you insert this in your ass, it makes you so wet because you feel that pressure, mm-hmm. and now you come out and you hand this man...
And it's titillating to hand very your underwear.
Titillating.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you start to get that sort of combination of titillation and humiliation playing together. And it just occurs to me that...
It occurs to me that I don't find...
is what?
It's foreplay.
I know. I don't find any sense of satisfaction in the power of taking a woman out into a muddy field, telling her to get all dirty...
But there are people that do that.
People who do that. I yes. totally get that. But I don't find any satisfaction in that, mm-hmm. from a dom standpoint. The submissive might find that arouses her in some way.
Sure.
But I read about doms who get off on that, and I read about submissives who get off on that.
Totally.
And I don't understand it. It doesn't mean it's wrong or a judgment.
It's not wrong at all. It's literally doesn't
occur.
You know, everyone's fire gets lit by different things.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Everyone's fears lit by different things. Humiliation's yeah. lit. All of those are lit by different things because we all have different experiences in our lives.
Right.
And so, understandably, I get that people have different experiences, and therefore their kink or their turn-ons are going to be different. Right. But you're right. I don't understand it.
About the time I started chatting with you, I was chatting with a woman in North Carolina, mm-hmm. who called herself a pig. That was her. Okay. She was a pig.
Yeah.
And anything I could think of to have her do that was piggy should be up for her.
Hmm. Interesting.
And I was like, okay, what sorts of things do you do? And so she would tell me, like, you know, she would...
root around or...
write dirty stuff and wear yep. a pig nose and yep. root around and have to yep. be on all fours all the time. Mm-hmm. And she'd have to... she lived on a farm. She'd have to be out in the barn. And, right. you know, there were all these different ways that she was pigified.
And see, I relate to this on my switch side when I'm coaching people.
Yeah.
When I... even in our task a day coaching, we have very... intentional do tasks, which are actual domination type tasks, to expose the kinkster to an experience that they may or may not have felt. But remember, anytime you do something again, even if it's repetitive that you've done before, I caution people to just say, well, I've already done that, because every time you do it, you have a new context. You're doing it newly.
Yeah.
Because you're not the same person you were 2 weeks ago when you did it, or yeah. whatever, or 2 years ago.
Yeah.
So we do that as part of the learning. But even in the domination, when I do things that are, maybe I think they're humiliating, I have no idea if the sub thinks they're humiliating, mm-hmm. but I'm asking them to do it, and there is very much an intentional context for them doing it. I'm not just making shit up to do it.
Yeah.
Just to fuck with their mind, let's say.
Right.
What I'm doing is, let's check things off the list. What do you like to do? If we're trying to help someone find their one, what we're trying to discern is, Lots of things, because obviously do tasks are, or domination tasks are multi-tiered.
Yeah.
Part of it could be obedience in the task. Part of it could be a humiliation part. Part of it could be a denial part. There are multi prongs going on in one task to give insight not only to the person that's doing them, whether it's a sub or a dominant, but also then to be able to provide context when they're trying to say, who do I align with?
Right.
I know who I am now. Okay, let's say I'm drinking your own piss. I've never drank my own piss, but now I have. Was it, and before I drank my own piss, which I had never done, how did I feel about it? What did I think about that? All this meaning, right? And then after I've done it, was it really that bad? Or, and it may have been horrible, right? Or it may have been, that wasn't that bad. At least there's a context now to know. And the reality is there's nothing wrong. The whole point behind this too is some of the submissives are very obedient. They do it. And I think I look at their face in the video and I'm like, they didn't like to do that. They could get halfway through and not complete it. And they're not going to be in trouble for that, because that's not the point of this. The right. point is that they're learning something about themselves at a very deep level.
Yeah, because the question is, what did you make it mean?
Exactly. And because I'm the dominant in that situation,
right.
I know that right now we have a lot of submissives. They feel beholden to me, but that really is separate in my eyes. It's separate because I'm watching to see, how did they experience it for themselves? I mean, my power is I provide this task and I say, okay, let's see if you do it. I'm excited to see you do it.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's so much there, you know. It's like, I think that's the best question to ask is, what did you make it mean, right?
Yeah.
When it comes to humiliation and degradation.
Well, and that's what I was getting to is when you say, when we look at those lists of humiliation and they say, be naked all the time.
Yeah.
Okay, so what do I make that mean? I go, not a problem.
Right.
So you say, I want you to hold your pee water and you're not going to pee.
Right.
And I'm like, this is hard and I'm going to test myself. And but I didn't go right away to, oh my God, I can't believe you're asking me this. This is going to be so bad. What if I pee my pants?
Right.
I knew the thought could be that I pee my pants. And I was like, okay, I'll figure that out when it comes, right?
Right.
At the time, I was like, test myself, change the context. This is a race. This is a competition. I'm going to see if I can beat myself. It's how I was wired to think about it, but I think anyone can change any of those situations.
Sometimes I pee in your ass, and then I put your butt plug in.
Yes, and you make me hold your water.
It.
Yeah.
Right. And now, some people would be deeply humiliated by that.
I get it. I get that they could be.
Yeah. What do you make it mean?
It's loving. It's a bit of a challenge, a test. I'm a physiologist, so as a physicist.
What do you make it mean about yourself that you're somebody who lets that you're somebody who lets somebody else piss in your ass and demands that you hold it in with a butt plug?
Okay,
what do you make it mean about yourself?
But I don't just let anyone do that.
I understand. What do you make it mean about yourself?
About myself?
Yeah.
I don't feel dirty or anything.
No, that's not what you make it mean. I don't feel dirty. That's what you don't make it mean.
Make it mean?
Like, yeah.
Like, I make it mean that I'm owned and marked.
Okay, there you go. So it doesn't occur for you as a humiliating experience.
Not at all.
That's the point, right? The point is that somebody else looking in would be horrified by that. And you, my God, that's so...
So for that person, that act may be their humiliation, degradation type act.
Yeah.
And I guess that's why this is interesting topic for us, is because I'm thinking to myself, what would be humiliating?
Right.
In a sexual context, it's difficult for me to figure out what that would be.
I know what would humiliate you.
You do.
I do.
Really?
Yes. I know.
Are you going to share?
If I tied you up and then brought a series of women in here to fuck, you would find that humiliating.
Yes.
Right. And you wouldn't be excited about that at all.
No, I wouldn't be excited about
that. Because...
But would it be arousing?
It wouldn't be arousing to you.
So,
well, it may be at times.
So how is that... Because isn't the point of degradation, humiliation... people that are into that,
yeah,
that it creates a state of arousal.
See,
Isn't that part of it?
I don't know. I don't know.
But we also know that BDSM or kink doesn't always,
always
incorporate
sexual.
Sex.
Right.
Because right. it's a power thing, too. So,
exactly.
So where does that fall? In power?
Yeah.
So yeah. It's humiliation, degradation with power.
Yeah.
Which then, so what's the end? Where's, I hate to say it like this. I don't know. Maybe this doesn't work with humiliation. Where's the win? So let's just say there isn't sex involved with any type of humiliation, degradation.
Well let's start with...
And then where is that person left? What are they getting out of it?
Right. So there is a win because there's always a win.
Right.
Right? Remember, everybody's in their story all the time.
Correct.
And if your story is that you're a dirty, slutty, nasty girl,
mm-hmm.
and you explore that as an adult, you're overcoming your experience of, as a child of being put through that by living into it as an adult with adult behaviors.
Okay.
There's a win there because you overcome that childhood experience of suffering in the present by not suffering in the experience.
Wait a minute. How could I use an example? Because I'm trying to get away
Take the example of that woman whose writing I was referring
yes.
to. She described being fucked, abused, three holes, pissed on,
mm-hmm.
filled with cum,
and
she's having like amazing sex, right? And she's being told she's filthy and dirty and naughty.
Okay, but that doesn't fit into the context I'm talking about.
Let me just finish the experience. Actually, that was her adult experience. And what she referenced was, in those comments, she heard her parents hissing at her. She heard her church elders
right.
speaking at her. But she dealt with herself in the present as a sexual creature, enjoying that aspect of herself by also being this prissy little mom, church mom.
But that's what I'm saying too.
Yeah.
She's in the humiliation, but also having a joyful experience. I'm
yeah.
talking about something that doesn't include sex.
Okay.
Humiliation, degradation. So use your example you said. You tie me up, restrain me,
yeah.
and you bring women in here.
Yeah.
So I'm humiliated, let's say.
Yes.
Where is the win for me in that? Where am I then? Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I know there are people out there that are in this, so that's why I'm asking the question is...
I don't know that you get a win. I get a win.
No, I know. Exactly.
Right.
One side gets a win. I get it.
Yeah.
I get that part. But I'm trying to figure out how that works, because it doesn't always require sex to be part of humiliation. If sex is involved in the humiliation, I think then there becomes a win-win because, you know, people enjoy
sex right.
and things
exactly.
like that, right? So there, the context can change. But if there isn't, because there are quite a few situations with humiliation, degradation without sex, then where is the win? In the learning of oneself?
So in that circumstance,
I mean, you know what I'm saying?
The win would be that you know yourself as somebody who's owned as property, and you get to just be to do what you're
present.
Told. You just get present to that.
Present to
being
yeah.
owned.
Yeah. Okay.
And for you, you know, being owned is like a very root experience. Like you,
yeah.
thrive in that experience, and so that would be a way to stretch you into that experience.
Right. I get what you're
and,
saying.
And you may not like it at the moment.
Right.
But you would know that if I'm going to tie you up in front of the bed, that's mm-hmm. what's going to happen. And you would start to become, you know, aroused by that over time.
Hmm.
And in the course of time, you would look forward to that. And in the course of time, you would want that.
You think that's so, though? The reason I'm asking...
That's what I'm constructing, yeah.
The reason I'm asking is because if it's abhorrent, let's just say, you have a this reaction that is... producing all these emotions, and it doesn't matter. I don't care where the frame of reference, if it's your story or whatever. You just have that's the experience you're having in the moment. How do you go from that to the next conversation of whatever? Well, people would say you don't because you're the submissive, so the dom's going to do whatever they do. So then they're going to just do whatever they do again, and you're going to repeat the cycle. And then you internally have to deal with those feelings.
No. So in our dynamic,
right.
We've committed that there's no space between us.
Correct.
And
I'm not saying everyone has our dynamic.
I understand. And we're also committed that we're 100% responsible each for the dynamic.
Right.
So assuming that you didn't safe word out of that situation.
Yeah.
Assuming
which
that.
Which would be interesting because I wouldn't even probably consider that that would be an option.
It's always an option.
I know, but.
Yeah, but assuming you didn't and you went through it, then you would have to deal with what there was to deal with and we would have to get to there's no space.
Mm,
and it would take communication and we would be responsible. Like you'd have to be responsible for knowing that you were deeply loved and cared for and
I get
you know,
saying.
So on.
I get what you're saying.
But it stretches your sense of self in that way. So I'm not saying that that's on the cards, right?
No. And we also don't know when people stretch, we don't know what that's going to unfold.
We don't. No.
That's the thing is that just like that's what we talk about all the time, the rabbit hole. We're in the rabbit hole. We're going someplace. We don't know where. It's twists and turns. And then at any point, really, even if you're doing repetitive type play, you have no idea if a culmination of certain repetitive play builds up to a moment that creates a shift in the rabbit hole, let's say.
Yeah.
I mean, right? I mean,
we have no idea, yeah.
Right.
I mean, you might be challenged to witness me punishing somebody else. Like, that might be a challenge for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right.
I'm not sure you'd be humiliated by that, but you know, for example, I don't know. Like, let's just say that we had this example where we had a submissive who needed disciplining,
mm-hmm.
and I made you hold her hands while I disciplined her. Like you, right. like because I know your personal ethos and character,
right.
that would be a struggle for you.
Mm.
You would not want to do that. You would not want to.
I may not want to do it, but I may do it.
You would do
it's
it.
It's crazy because I'd do it because you asked me, but also I'd probably do it because the other person, I have this
empathy
for
right.
them.
Yeah. So you know, my point is that there are lots of ways to play in that world, even with somebody for whom humiliation isn't a construct.
Interesting.
Right.
And that's interesting to bring up for people because we always say there's nothing ever wrong and you can
right.
create your own thing. But this is an interesting thing to discuss because this is part of the kink community and it varies so dramatically from dynamic to play partner to play partner.
Yeah, and I think that because we're human beings and because we live inside of our stories and because there's nothing wrong and we put wrong in the space,
mm-hmm.
like because we put wrong in the space, every single human being's experience of themselves is the place where you have to look for what's humiliating. It's not about what somebody else thinks is humiliating.
Right.
Right? It's about what you experience as humiliating. The fact that you want to be degraded and humiliated,
mm-hmm.
that on its own is a really interesting, you know, construct for sexualization.
Hmm.
Right? Like
I remember that coming up on Fet Life as a choice.
Yeah.
Like fetish choice or whatever.
Yeah.
And I remember really standing there going, I don't really even know what that means.
Right.
Like, so I went and researched actually and looked at other things of what people thought were degradation or humiliation.
Yeah.
And so things like holding I'm a slut and stand by the side of the road and
right.
hold a sign or... And I remember saying, yeah, that is something I just wouldn't do on a regular basis. But if I was, and I remember saying this to myself, but if I was told to do it,
I'd do it.
So then I was saying, well, I don't know if that's humiliation or degradation.
Like
what does that mean about me? Because
but think about it like this. You can be a masochist.
It might be masochist.
But listen, one could be a masochist and one could tolerate very low intensities of pain.
Mm-hmm.
And also get very aroused by very low intensities of pain. And one could be a masochist and only prefer really high intensities of pain. And that whole spectrum of masochism, it's all masochism. All of it. From I don't like pain a lot,
and
but
so
I get aroused.
And so that's a physical masochism, but don't you think there's an emotional, mental masochism?
I think all of humiliation degradation literally occurs in mental masochism.
I think so too. That's what I'm thinking because... Yeah, I think that's very true.
Yeah, because for me to say to you, for example, I think this has got to be degrading to some people. Go to the store, buy some ginger, scrape it down, and fig your ass for 20 minutes.
Yeah.
That would be deeply humiliating for somebody to do. And for somebody else, it's just what they do.
I just, It's so weird.
Yeah.
How would that become humiliating? Okay, so because you were telling me that.
Yeah.
And because the way I'm wired as a submissive.
Yeah.
That doesn't come into my information as humiliating. It comes to me as a task. I know you know that.
Yeah.
So then I try to think, okay, so he's not telling me to do that.
Right.
Where would that come from elsewhere and would then make me feel humiliated?
Well, if somebody for whom you had disdain, like your ex-husband, for example.
Yeah.
And he said to you, this is what you're going to do now.
It would have to be blackmail, I think. Blackmail would have to be incorporated with it. So, for example, he might say, you have to do this if you want to ever see the kids again.
Right.
Let's just say that. So I would be really humiliated to do it because I don't want to do it for him.
Right.
Right? Because it's not my choice. I'm not obedient to him. But I do it for the end result.
Right.
Right?
Right.
That is the context where I would find that humiliating.
And that also has no integrity.
No, it doesn't. No. But that's where I would feel humiliated.
That's just you, though.
No, I know.
Yeah. But I'm saying that for some people, that would rise to the level.
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
Totally.
And
being naked could rise to the level.
Absolutely. And so I want to restate that humiliation is a personal phenomenon.
Yes.
And I also want to restate that the experience of humiliation, degradation in the world of sexualized kink is a mental process. It's a process about mental domination.
Yeah, it definitely is.
Yeah.
It definitely is, because it's not the single act itself. It's actually how the person interprets it, the meaning they put behind it.
You know, when I used to play with that Sub Weekly, she would have to show up here at a specific time. And then she would have to get herself naked at the door, crawl through the living room onto the floor. She had to lay face down on the floor with her butt in the air, and she'd have to take her butt plug out of her ass and stick it in her mouth. She was deeply humiliated by that experience.
Oh, really?
Right. Deeply.
Mm-hmm.
And she loved it.
Right. Well, because it was humiliating.
Right.
And she was obediently doing it, but she was humiliated.
She hated it, and she resented it, and she was deeply aroused by being told to do it.
Yeah, and I get that there are
that's just the world that this space lives in.
Right.
And it's just and I just found it so interesting
it's very interesting, actually.
Because it's not really about sex. It's really just a power trip.
Yeah, it is about power.
Yeah.
For sure. It's isn't it amazing how everyone's context is so different? And I get that it is. I'm not silly about that, but it's amazing how varied it is, and just, you know, 6 degrees here is something completely different than over here.
Well, if it's 6 degrees when you start, by the time you end, you're hundreds of miles apart.
Yeah.
You know, and so you can go down very different pathways just depending on slight choices you make along the way. I believe that humiliation and degradation is very much a part of the kink dynamic.
Mm-hmm.
In lots of different ways for all sorts of different people, in all sorts of paradigms. It could be
on the, also the dominant feels like this is a humiliating thing.
Yes.
But the submissive he's with may not feel it's humiliating, but they still may work because he still feels like you're so dirty because I'm going to piss in your ass.
Right.
And she may think, oh,
I love
it's
it.
Not dirty,
yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
And that could work too. I mean, that's the reality of the situation.
Yeah.
I never even thought of the other side, because you always think about what's happening to you or what you're doing.
I will say that there's no particular path forward in any kink dynamic. What surprised me about that particular slut's experience of pissing her ass and pissing her mouth was, you know, if you fast forward a couple of years, she's begging me to piss in her mouth. Something she was really...
So was it humility?
She still was deeply humiliated by it.
Still deeply humiliated?
Yeah, she hated it. But she knew it pleased me so much that she wanted me to have that experience. So she would...
Create it, to endure it, to demand it, to raise up
my experience of satisfaction.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so a lot of her self-expression as a submissive was to be humiliated, degraded, used, You know, I remember when I very first was getting to know her, she told me she wanted to be treated like an object.
Oh, like more like a slave?
Like an object.
Okay.
Not a slave, an object.
How's that different?
Well, I asked her.
Yeah, okay, good.
I'm like, okay, so explain to me what you mean by an object. She goes, well, you know, objects have something in common with each other. They're owned. Right? So what she wanted was the experience of feeling owned, like an object.
Okay.
She didn't want to be a slave, because she wasn't a slave. She mm-hmm. was married, you know, to somebody else, and she had a life. She didn't want to be a slave.
Yeah.
But she wanted to be objectified.
Okay, okay.
Right? Yeah. And I met another woman one time, we were talking about playing, and she said, all I want is to show up at your house and just be used mm-hmm. as any way that you want. And I don't want to know you. I don't want to like you. I don't want you to like me. I don't want to be your friend. I just want to be like a used. Fucking object.
Right. Well, and I've heard of that before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know, it's that space that somebody gets into. Mm-hmm. And I can't really speak about it from a male perspective.
Sure.
Because that's not how I experience the world.
Right.
But with the women I've encountered who are like that, mm-hmm. It's a whole lane of objectification, humiliation, degradation, being used, being like treated like a slut and a whore and a, you know, dirty, filthy, like being, mm-hmm. without concern for her person, right? So she's not interested in being uplifted as a person. Like she literally,
okay, so then I would ask you this.
Yeah.
If they're not worried about being up, why would they then tell you, complain that they don't want to do it? Because you said she complained, she'd allow you to do it, but then complain. Because if she's complaining, that's for sure her not being an object. That's for sure her humanity coming out and she's trying to appease the gods.
Yeah.
Or make meaning of the situation.
Absolutely.
So that's a disconnect for me on the sense of, let's just say, people that say they're a slave or
right.
they're an object. You know, an object to me, even though it's object, I can't say the word. I'm too buzzed right now.
Objectification.
Yes, thank you for the word. Then you need to think of yourself, I'm a table.
Right.
Okay? So I'm a pillow. The guy likes to fuck his pillow, however he fucks his pillow. So that's what you are. And tables and chairs and pillows don't talk.
Yeah.
You know, do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So what it is, I see a lot, is they want something. And what I would say to the objectification is, what they want is to be desired and used in any way possible because they're so desirable that you'll use them in any way you choose.
Yeah, that's
probably closer to,
you know,
what
we watched the story of O, and there was that whole period of training in the castle where where their humanity is stripped away from them.
Yep.
And they're objectified. They can be fucked by anybody at any time.
That movie was not the greatest because half those slaves did not look at all happy about the situation.
No.
And the slaves that I've seen that are what I consider real slaves
are happy about it.
Are absolutely joyful about being slaves.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
Yeah.
So there's a difference. But what it brings to mind for me is it attaches to what you were saying earlier. There's a story there that someone hasn't gotten complete on yet.
Yes.
They're bringing it forward at some level in their life to that point, and it's playing out how it's playing out. And they think they've figured it out, because we all want to feed our story. So you think you've figured out where your lane is, and what it might be doing actually is just feeding your story.
Yeah.
And so... Not that every dom has to worry about that, because you might just have a play partner. It might not be a relationship where you have to worry about that.
Well, I think that's
creation
true.
Of story.
I think that's true whether you're in a partnership or in a play scene. I think that the person you're playing with, you're not really playing with them. You're playing with their story about who they are. You know.
Yeah.
And their story is sourced in some sort of childhood trauma of some sort.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just living into it as an adult too.
And that's being human. I mean, not putting people down for
it's
that.
Just
that's
being
nothing.
Human. Yeah.
It's just like the way you strive in life is try to figure out how to not be as human as possible.
No, well, I mean, it's a very ordinary way of being.
Yeah.
And what you and I are striving toward is a more extraordinary experience of like choosing this experience of kink,
right?
Like eyes wide open. And so I don't know that I really understand what drives somebody to seek humiliation and degradation as a sexual construct.
Right.
I know that I naturally have you do things that other people might consider humiliating because
you like
because
those
I like those things. I don't know that they occur as sexually humiliating for me. Like, I don't think of it as humiliating to you.
Yeah, I mean, does that really happen? I mean, well, I guess it might, but if it's my turn on,
yeah.
Unless I get aroused by doing the naughty thing, the humiliating thing to someone, or having it done to me.
Well, I'll give you an example.
So bizarre.
I'll give you an example. Like I'm really turned on by fucking your ass and then fucking your mouth. Ass to mouth is completely off limits for a lot of women.
You're right.
Can't do it. Can't do it. Right? Can't do it. Now, but I don't think of it as I'm humiliating
you. Before we met, yeah. I had never done that.
Right.
Because I wouldn't let him do that.
Right.
But I did that with you.
Right.
And I don't think twice about it.
No. No. And that's the point, right? The point is that the things that I do with you that other people would find humiliating, dirty, whatever,
mm-hmm.
like, I don't think of them as I'm doing this to you because it's humiliating.
Your intention is not to be humiliating.
No.
Me. Your intention is that's what you find is hot.
Hot.
Right?
Like, yeah.
And I find it equally hot.
Right.
And it, which is, I'm saying that out loud. It feels weird to say that.
Yeah.
But I'm not really embarrassed about it. It's just weird to recognize. I mean, I've been doing that for a long time now.
Yeah.
And I never put up the red flag.
Not
I
once.
Mean, but again, it's the way I interpret what we're doing, what we're up to.
I've always said that whatever we do occurs the way it occurs to you. And how it occurs to you is how it occurs to you.
Right.
So if how it occurs to you is that it's a hot, like we're a hot mess from the play that we have, then it doesn't occur to you as, but that was really humiliating. I can't believe you did that.
Well, again, like even in the early phases when we were new together and I was new to just transitioning in a scene and what have you. And I say that because it's so much different than vanilla,
yeah.
Right? And I remember you would do something new to me at that time. And I don't remember my first instinct being no. I remember being, this is new. I could learn something here. And maybe afterwards I can say I like it or didn't like it. Or I wasn't really sure how that would go. But I was more like, how can I know? I have never done this before. I've never done this in this order. I've never done this period, if it was a certain thing. I mean, it would have been, because I'm not big into knife play, it would have been really easy for me to read out on the knife play that we did early on. But at the same time, I didn't know what I was saying no to, really. Not really. And there was a part of me that was like, wanting to please, for sure. And I definitely went through my head thinking, if I can't do this, then I'm really not a masochist. I put those on myself.
Lots of judgments.
You never said this to me, but I did this to myself. At the same time, I thought, at least I could start it, and then let's see.
Yeah.
You know, maybe I'll have to stop him at some point. And then, you know, damn it, I'm competitive. So then that plays into it, too.
Right.
But that's just who I am. But I remember that being a very vivid experience for me on, what am I doing right now? What is happening right now?
But just consider,
why is this happening to me right now?
Just consider,
do you see what I'm saying?
Totally. Just consider that for somebody else, if I said to them, I'm going to tie you up and I'm going to fuck your ass and then fuck your mouth. I'm going to do that over and over again. And you can't move and you can't resist, that would be a struggle for them. For you, that would be like, fucking bring it on.
Yeah.
Right?
I know.
It's just different, right?
And see, that's different. There's no wrong or right.
That's my whole point. And I think we can keep, we're just going around.
Yeah, we're going
around. But that's my whole point. My whole point is My whole point is that humiliation occurs on an individual basis. It's sourced in something ancient inside of them.
Yeah.
And in the way that they experience it, how it occurs for them. And they should always explore whatever they're interested in exploring to discover where it takes them in the rabbit hole, because they may get complete with it in that way.
Well, and I think for sure aftercare, yeah, when you decompress afterwards and discuss a scene,
yeah,
or scenes, I think that's really vital, because things may come up, especially in the heat of the moment, the freshness of the moment just happening. Someone may have an experience they share, and it may feel disconnected. They don't understand why they're feeling that way.
Right.
But it's good to note, because as a touchstone, because it may reoccur again. And if there's reoccurring themes, yeah, or there's a deepening of that concept, I think you might have something to go to. And the reality is, we're trying to free ourselves ultimately to be, right, freer beings over time.
Exactly.
Because I think as a freer being, I know just in the sense of my life for the last 2 years, and the freedoms that I have been experiencing through being with you have created a whole new context in my life. So the reality is, that's, you know, yeah, I think if we were an individual human living on this earth without judgment of other humans, do you think we'd really care? Give a fuck what was happening,
no,
or what we're doing?
No.
Yeah, yeah, no, we wouldn't care.
Yeah. So let's get complete with aftercare is probably the most important part of humiliation and degradation.
You think? Yeah. I think it really is.
Yeah. With that,
I'm complete.
I'm complete too.
Good. That's it for today. You can find us on your favorite podcast directory. We also have an RSS feed. If you're interested in online coaching for kinksters or online domination, you can visit our Patreon website at Lady Petra Playground. And if you're having comments or suggestions or drink ideas for our podcast, you can email me at ladypetraplayground@gmail.com.
That's it.
That's it.
Cheers.
Cheers.